We continue our learning lately. Nishmas David ben Menachem Rushim Cham Yaakov ben Pinchas Leiyahu. We're in Yoma Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. Although our Mishnah does not have this Gersa or this text, there is a certain Mishnais that have the text that introduce this Mishnah with the following phrase: Ziknei Beis Din Milamdin Oso Seder HaKippurim Kol Shavas Hayamim. The elders of the Beis Din, the rabbis, would teach the Kohen Gadol the arrangement, the service of Yom Kippur for during the entire 7 days. In fact, whether we have that Gersa or not, that's the topic of the Mishnah. That during those 7 days, when the Kohen Gadol was sequestered in Lishkas Parhedrin, he was in the Beis HaMikdash, spent the whole week in the Beis HaMikdash, he would practice, he would train for Yom Kippur. And that's what the subject of the Mishnah is. Kol Shavas HaYomim, Hu Zorek Es Adam. So we're going to go through a whole list of what he would do. He would do the Zrikas Adam. Normally, any Kohen can do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. The Kohen Gadol would bring his special Minchas Chavitin that we mentioned in Shkolim. But other than that, any regular Kohen would do this service. So a Kohen Gadol could have been out of practice. So he would have to practice the Zrikas Adam of the Korban HaTamid Shel Shachar and Korban HaTamid Shel Bein HaBayim. So the 7 days before Yom Kippur, he would be the one doing that, doing the training. Now, interestingly, there is no mention in the Mishnah of the Shechita or the Kabbalah. The Zrika, yes, the sprinkling of the blood, yes, but not the slaughtering and not the receiving of the blood in the Kli Sharis. Why is that so? You could maybe say that the Zrika Saddam, there are different types of Zrika he's going to be doing on Yom Kippur, very complicated. So the Zrika of the Zepar and the Sa'ir and the Korban HaTamid. So there are a lot of, it could be very different where the blood is going to be sprinkled on this Mizbeach and it's going to be sprinkled Bein Abad and between it in front of the Aron, so on the Paroches. So we had to practice all of them. And one of them was the Zrikas Adam of the Tamid. Shechita, he didn't have to practice. And others say, no, there's a very simple reason why the Shechita, there's no purpose in training in the Shechita. Because the daily Shechita of the Korban HaTamid was done completely, obviously, by one Kohen. And another Kohen would stand there with the Kli Shares, with the service vessel, to accept the blood, to receive the blood. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to do everything. He had to do the Shechita and the Kabbalah Saddam. How was that done? So the Mishnais will only describe. He started the Shechita, did the majority of the Shechita, and then he ran over to grab the Kli Shares while another Kohen completed the Shechita, and the Kohen Gadol could then do the Kabbalah in the Kli Shares. So to practice a regular Shechita during the week of the regular Korban HaTamid, when he would have to do a different type of Shechita on Yom Kippur itself, so would there be no point. So the first thing, again, the Mishnah says, he was Zorek Es Hadam, he did the Zrikas Hadam. And Umak Tiras HaKtoris, he would burn the incense. That was done on the Mizbeach HaZahav, Mizbeach HaPnimi in the Heichal. That was done daily, and that was done half in the morning and half in the afternoon, that Ktores. So he would practice that as well. Umeitiv as aneros. Then he did something with the neros of the menorah. Meitiv literally means he made good. There's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim what exactly this means. So we'll discuss a few of the opinions. The one explanation is that Hatava Saneris, which is really very ambiguous. What are you doing to the candles of the menorah exactly? So one opinion is that it refers to the Hatava is preparing them. Preparing them in order to light in that evening. Every night we would light the menorah. So in the morning, there was a service as well called Hatavas Haneros. What would they do? They would prepare the lamps of the menorah by getting rid of the ashes and getting rid of the old wicks. That was the service called Hatavas Haneros. That's, I guess, what it means. Hatava, to make it good, to make it nice. This way you'd clean them out. That was the avodah. What that shows is that there is no avoda of hatava in terms of filling up, putting in new oil and new wicks. That was not an avoda. If that's not an avoda, that doesn't have to be done now as part of Hatava Saneros in the morning along with the rest of the service. That can be done immediately prior to lighting the new wicks and the new oil at night when we light the menorah. But the hatava that we're discussing is a real avoda. That's done in the morning. wedding, and that is the cleaning out of preparing in the sense that they would clean out the ashes and the old wicks, get rid of them. Another opinion is that of that's the way Rashi understands it, and the Rashba understood differently. He felt that both the cleaning and filling the lamps again, putting in the new wicks, was all part of the hatava, and that was done in the morning as well. You did not, like Rashi, you put in the new wicks at night right before you lit them. No, you put in the new wicks and the new oil in the morning. After you clean them out, part of hatava was to refill them. Ramban holds that hatava only included filling the lamps with oil and putting in the new wicks. The removing of the ashes was not considered an avodah at all. So when we speak about hatava, making good, improving, that's not removing any ashes, not cleaning out, according to Ramban, none of that. It's the putting in of the new wicks. So it's the exact opposite of what Rashi held. The Rashba held it's both. Rashi held it's only the cleaning out. The Ramban holds that it's the putting in of the new wicks. And then the Rambam holds that Hatava really means to light the menorah. That's what it is, to light the lamps. So to light the lamps, I thought we light them at night. So apparently, according to the Rambam, we're not only we light them in the afternoon or at nighttime before dark, but we would light them in the morning in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hatava. Cleaning the lamps, that is part of the avodah, but that's not called hatava. That's called dishun. That has another name. Okay, so then we have haktaras haktaras, and then hatavas haneros. Now, we may remember, it's a gemara from Maseches Yuma on Daf Lamed Gimel, but it's quoted in the Mikarbono section. Abaye hava misader seder hamaracha. Abaye would tell you what the arrangement was of the daily sacrifice, the daily avodah, and on that list was hatava, also hatavas neros. But there, it's split up. There's hatavas chamesh neros, where we do the hatava, whatever that means, of five candles, five lamps of the menorah, and then hatavas shtei neros. And there's an avoda that's in between. Is that the sprinkling of the blood? And our mishnah will, according to many, our mishnahs of the opinion, that the haktaras haktores was between that. And this is based on the psukim. If you look at Torahs, it speaks about in the parsha of Torahs, it speaks about baboker, baboker, b'tivoes haneros yaktirena. We speak about the Torahs that may be in between the cleaning or the preparing of the menorah itself. So hatavas haneros, according to our Mishnah, it was the Ktores that was the part of the Avodah that intervened between the five and the two lamps. So when we read the Mishnah here and it says, he did Zrikas Adam, and then Haktaras Haktores, and then Meitives Haneros, so if Haktaras Haktores precedes Hatavas Haneros, that means that the Hatavas Haneros that's following the Haktarah of the Ktores is only the last two candles, because the five candles must have been before. That's the way Tosfos understands this Mishnah. However, others say differently, and the Rambam sees today differently, that the Kohen Gadol would be the one to prepare not only the two lamps, meaning if you hold that the Mishnah says Meitiv es Haneros after Ktores, that sounds like the Kohen Gadol is only preparing the last two of the lamps of the menorah. What about the first five? So it sounds like from the Mishnah he doesn't have to, because it only speaks about Ktores first and then Hatavas Haneros. And the only Hatava that followed the Ktores was two candles. And others say no, the Kohen Gadol had to do all of them. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention the first five and only mentions the hatava of the two afterwards doesn't mean that he didn't do all of it. He did, the Mishnah mentions hatavas neros because it's letting you know that part of the hatava followed the ktores, but there was the majority of the hatava that preceded it, five candles, then ktores, and then two candles, and done all by the Kohen Gadol. Then the Mishnah says, umakrivis harosh ves haregel. He would be involved in sacrificing and offering the head of the animal and the leg. This is really not, that's only the beginning part of the Korban HaTamid. We mentioned that they would separate the Korban Olah, they cut into different parts. So the Rosh and the Regel was the first part. Kohen was the one that they would put on the Mizbeach first, But many Rishonim say that doesn't mean that he didn't throw onto the Mizbeach the rest of the Karban Olah. And others say no, the Mishnah mentions Rosh and Regel because it was enough. Let him throw the first thing on, and that was enough to get him comfortable and familiar with the Avodah. And on Yom Kippur, he would know to throw the rest of the parts of the Karban HaTamid on the Mizbeach. Ushor kol hayamim im ratza lahakriv makriv. Mishnah says that regarding any other day of the year besides these 7 days, he didn't have an obligation to train, to practice, but if he wanted to involve himself in the Avodah, he had the right to do so. We know the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, and each Mishmar into a base Av, each base of the Mishmaros, the Mishmaros would 24, so figure about 50 weeks in a year, so about approximately 2 weeks a year, a Mishmar, that particular family of Kohanim, would be involved in come to the Beis HaMikdash, and during the week, the different Batei Avos, different groups in that family would serve on different days. So even if a Kohen Gadol, doesn't matter, he's not part of any of these families, nonetheless, he's able to bring himself to do any avoda that he would like. It's his choice. She Kohen Gadol makriv chelek barosh v'notel chelek barosh. Because the Kohen Gadol has the right to choose to offer anything that he would like, because the Kohanim in the Mishmar, they would be makriv through a lottery. Which parts of that Mishmar, they would go through a lottery, which parts of the service they would be doing, which parts they would be carrying, different, and that would be done through lottery. Kohen Gadol did not involve himself in the lottery. If he wanted to involve himself in the Avoda, he could do whatever he like. And not only that, notel chelek barosh, he could take any portion from the kodshim that are eaten, the best portion he's able to take if he wants, even if he was not involved in the Avodah itself. Now, that's only true, says the Tosefta, regarding Kodshei Mizbech, regarding Karbanos. But Kodshei HaGvul, which literally means holy things, holy foods of Gvul within the borders, which is like Truma, Chala, and Matanos, the Matanos of the Rala, Chayayim, and the Keva, gifts that are given to a Kohen. So there, Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot are equal in that regard. Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel Masru Lo Zikanim Mizikne Bezdin V'Kohen Lefanav B'Seder Hayom. So the Mishnah here says that they provided for the Kohen Gadol on each one of these 7 days Zikanim from the Sanhedrin. And what would they do? So they would read in front of him every day the service of Yom Kippur. They would read the part of the Torah, Parshas Achremos, with the service of Yom Kippur. So that, and then they would elaborate a little bit to make sure he'd know all of the details. And that would be done during the 7 days. So he would have it refreshed every single day, the Seder Avodah. Omrim Lo, and they would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, they would say, our Kohen Gadol, a great Kohen Gadol, you should read this yourself. Not, you shouldn't just listen. Shema Shachachta, O Shema Lolamata. Because maybe you forgot, or maybe you never learned. So our master Kohen Gadol, maybe you never learned. And Mikdash Sheni, they needed that because the Kohanim Gadolim were really unworthy, and they were appointed. It was sold the Kuna Gadola through the Malchus during the days of the Chashmona and the later days of the Chashmona. Mikdash Rishon, obviously, the Kohen Gadol was great in Chachma, in Noi, in beauty. He was handsome, Koach, Osher. And if not, so the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, V'hakoen ha-gadol me'echav, what does it mean, gadol me'echav, gadlei u'mishel achiv, u'mishel achav, his brothers are Kohanim, everyone has to ensure that he has Osher, and he has what he needs. So if he would be a chacham, if one of the requirements of a Kohen Gadol would be that he was a chacham, I don't need these members of Sanhedrin to say Shema lo lamata, but obviously we're talking about after the death of Shema Shimon HaTzadik, when the Kohanim Gedolim were many of them were not Chachamim at all, and they were unworthy to be in that position. And but they somehow exploited the people at that time, and they took those positions against the will of those Kohanim who would have been more worthy. Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris Ma'amidin Oso B'Shar HaMizrach. So Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, This is the 9th of Tishrei. They would place the Kohen Gadol in the eastern gate. This gate was similar to the Kedusha of Har HaBayis, not the same level as the Azara itself. And they would place him there, and they would pass in front of him bulls and rams and sheep, all animals that he would be involved with on Yom Kippur, so he would be comfortable in the Avoda. Now, happens to be, there were Se'irim, there were goats that also brought on Yom Kippur, and they're not mentioned here. But that's because we want the Kohen Gadol is going to be thinking about the sins of the people. We know the Seir, Elazazel, let's say that had all the sins of the Jewish people. You did the smicha on the animal and do the vidui on that animal. So not to put him in a bad mood, not that he'd be discouraged. So they didn't bring Seirim in front of him. Aye, but the par was also a par lechatos, which had the sins. So why they bring parim? So that's not so bad. That was just the Kohen and Kohen Gadol's family. He would do the vidui on that par, so that would not discourage him. And these, they brought all these animals in front of him. There were two. When we speak about Purim, there were two. One was an Ola and one was a Chatas. And he had to practice. You need to know the difference between them. You had the rams as well. One was for the Kohen Gadol himself and one was for the public. Both were Olos. There were seven sheep. And these were all part of the Musaf Avoda. And he therefore needed to be careful not to confuse them. You could also confuse rams with kvasim, and therefore they brought them in front of him at the Shahar Mitzvah and Yom Kippur to familiarize himself with these animals.